we're just grateful that we are Your people, Father, that we're called by Your name. Lord, that in all things, Father, at all times, in all places, Lord, that You're always with us, Father, that You never leave us, You never forsake us, Lord God. You're true, Father, to Your word, Lord. And so, Lord, this morning, Father, as Your people, we come before You. Lord, at different places, Lord God, with different concerns, but, Lord, serving the same Master, serving the same One that cares for us, Lord. Lord, You said to not be anxious about anything, but with all things, Lord God, with prayer and supplication to make our requests known to You. And so, Father, this day, Lord God, we make known to You everything that's at our heart, Lord, everything that's on our mind, Father, every care, every concern, every worry, Lord, every anxiety, Lord, we just lay it at Your feet. And Lord, we receive from You Your peace, Father. We receive from You Your rest. Lord, You said that they that wait upon You shall mount up with wings as eagles, Lord. They will run and not faint. Lord, their strength will be renewed, Father. And so, Lord, this day we come to You, Father, for renewed strength, but more than that, Lord, just to know You and to walk with You. Lord, we bind every force of the enemy, Lord, and we cast it out. And Lord, we just receive, Father, the free flow of Your Spirit in and through us, Lord, as we go forward. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. You know, I'll be taking off for a few weeks. I'm going to be away for a little while. So don't miss me too much. Be good while I'm gone. Yes. Okay. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Okay. Okay. All right, and the start of verse 22, actually. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man holding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, being doers of the word. I've heard this taken, and I've heard many times even people, they'll take this and they'll use this as, okay, now here's this says this, and so you have to do this, 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 and people get so bound up with all kinds of rules, restrictions in their walk. Because Jesus is a walk. Jesus is a journey. Jesus is a way. In fact, when we came to Christ, and when God opened up our eyes to our need for salvation and for a Savior, we began a journey at that point. It's a misunderstanding for people to say, oh, when were you saved, brother? Oh, I raised my hand in 1995. No, that's a misunderstanding, because what Jesus, when He came, He began a journey. There were many that turned back and stopped following Him at certain points because they did what He said was too difficult for them. So it's a spiritual direction, it's a spiritual choice based on your free will engaging with God's desire for your life. Because God never overrides your free will. God never takes away your ability to choose. Now, the world doesn't take it away either, but it wants to get you to make one choice into the world, and then it just makes you a slave. But it's a decision, it's a choice, it's a direction that we start and keep going with throughout every day that we're alive in this world. But in that process, there are ups, there are downs, there are triumphs and victories, and there are low, low valleys. And I see God taking us through those places deliberately. Because it's a stretch, it's a test, it's something that He uses to refine, to pull out all of the junk that was there from this life in this world without Him. And so we go through this process and this life listening to the voice of the Spirit of God. Now it's something that each of us cultivate. It's something that each of us need to learn for ourselves. See, you need to know the voice of God for yourself. I need to know the voice of God for myself. So Jesus said in John 10, "My sheep know my voice." They won't follow another. That another also includes anyone that speaks for God, because the thing is that you need to hear the voice of God for yourself, and if someone speaks for God, that will reconfirm what God is already speaking into your heart. Because too often people become dependent on a human personality, dependent on somebody who's charismatic, very fiery, and so they look to a person and not to God. And then what happens is when you start looking to a person and not to God, that person can take you any which way they would like to, and you can get into some very dangerous things. So I'll give you a random example I'll come up with right now. So someone will take James 2:23 and say, oh yeah, you need to be not just a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. And then they'll go back into something in the Old Testament where it says, okay, go into this place and kill everybody, every man, woman and child. Ah, yes, you're not a doer of the word. You see what the word says and you're not doing it. Oh, and then they'll throw the, you're going to hell if you don't do these things. You're going to hell. Ah. No, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but how many other ones have we heard that are subtle deviations that don't sound so threatening, but people get off on crazy things here, this way, that way, everywhere. But don't ever allow your faith to be based on a human personality ever. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the role and the responsibility of those that have perfecting responsibilities in the body of Christ. Their role is to help you to grow up so that you can stand on your own feet as much as possible so that you're not swayed by other people. Including them. Because if they're doing their job right, if they're fulfilling that responsibility right, you should need them less today than you needed them yesterday. How much do you need your parents when you're a newborn? How much do you need them when you're 8 years old? 14? Ah, at 14 you think you know everything and you don't need anyone, no? 18? 20 or becoming an adult? No, there comes to a point where you don't have that dependency that you once did, and if they did their job right as parents, you should be able to stand on your own feet and make good choices. There's a spiritual dimension to that. And so if people are teaching you, if they've taken that responsibility and you see them in those positions and they're claiming something there, ask yourself, do I need this person less today than I did yesterday? Because if you need that person more and more and more, and you're more dependent on everything that that person is saying, chances are that you're looking to that person and not to the Spirit of God. Okay. So it's a question to ask. And people fall for human personalities. It happens billions of times. Because we have all the clothes and all the trimmings and personalities and charismatic and all of that, but at the end of the day, this is about your walk and relationship with the Father. And God has something specific that He has intended just for you, that you will hear from His voice directly. We're called the body of Christ, yeah? In the body of Christ, every cell that I have is in connection with the head. Every cell, every organ, everything that I have in my body gets its instruction directly from the head. And likewise, for us in the body, whatever you are, whoever you are, inside of God's design, you were designed and made to receive directly from Him. And there are people that can encourage you, there are people that can strengthen you and be a help to you, but ultimately you have to hear this for yourself. Okay, so back to being a hearer of the word. Well, we know there's certain things that can happen in our lives and in our walk where it can be difficult to hear what God is saying. So there are things that we can do because, again, your free will is engaged. So because your free will is involved, there are things that you can do to either put yourself in a place where you can hear God's voice well, or put yourself in a place where it's difficult and strained for you to be able to hear the voice of God. In Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3, you have an instruction that goes to every single church, which is, to him that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So to every individual, to him, not to the group, but to every individual, let them hear what God is saying. So for each and every one of us, we can make a free will choice to put ourselves in a place where we can hear the voice of God. And he wants to meet us there, but he's also instructing us in what we can do there. So when he quickens you about something in your life, whatever it is, and you know because you check before him, if it's something that's off, ask him to help you and make a free will decision to whatever that area is in life to clean that up. Because it's a weight, it's a hindrance. It's a weight, it's a hindrance. It's just like it says in So anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, a weakness in the flesh, some sort of addiction or whatever it may be. I'm not focused on whatever the thing is. I'm focused on the connection with the Father that God desires for you to have. Okay, when that word comes from God, when God speaks that word to you, He speaks it because He wants you to take what He says and act on it and go with it. There's a friend of mine in India who one time he said most people want to know the will of God so that they can consider it, not so that they can actually do it. Yeah. So most people are like, oh, what is God's plan for my life? What's God's plan for my life? God, please show me your plan for my life. And then when God starts to show them His plan for their life, they say, oh, well, oh, God, that's your plan for my life? No, but God has what He intends for you is an abundant life, and He intends for you to go and walk through this a particular way. He knows what's best for you, but when He speaks it to you, we don't ask for the will of God just so we can, you don't ask for it to consider it, you ask for it so that you can do it. In fact, it's much better for you if you don't want to do the will of God for your life, not to ask Him and not to know. Because in Luke, it's either chapter 7 or chapter 12, verse 47, where it says that the servant that didn't know the master's will and didn't do it is better off than the servant that did know the master's will and didn't do it. They're both beaten. But one a little less. Because for us, for you, if you're going to do this thing, go 100% with what God is doing. Yes, there will be mistakes. Yes, there will be times where you maybe misstep here, misstep there. When I read the Bible, I see many, many missteps that seem to have happened, but God working out an amazing plan in the middle of all of that. And sometimes they just seem like missteps, but God was right there in the middle of that anyways. You just have to wait 5 years to see it. Okay. But not only hearers, but doers. Because see, what if somebody hears the voice of God and doesn't walk through with it? In James, he talks about how you're deceiving yourself. You know, a lot of people deceive themselves. A lot of people, it's called lying to yourself. You know, where how I've seen it happen is somebody will tell themselves something so many times, and they'll get enough people to kind of back them in that eventually they believe that God changed his mind and that must be true. They'll tell themselves something a bunch of times. And so, all right, I'll give you an example. God tells you, I want you to go to Uganda. And then somebody doesn't want to hear that, so they say, oh wait, that couldn't be God, they must have not heard God right. And then they start talking to different friends and they start listening to the people that say, yeah, how can you go to Uganda? That place is dangerous and there's the malaria and there's all these other things and God couldn't possibly be sending you there. There's so much work to be done right here. And what would you do there? You know, there's so many things in the walk with God that won't make sense to your natural mind. Because logically, it doesn't make sense. Logically, it doesn't make sense that our salvation would come through the death of the Son of God. Death and resurrection. It doesn't make much sense that God would use the people that He did throughout time and throughout Scripture to write the Word, to work the works of service that God had. It doesn't make sense, His choices. Some of them maybe, oh okay, this one maybe makes sense. A lot of them, no, they don't make sense. Why would God wait till Moses is 80 to use him? Why wouldn't he use him when he was 40 and he had all this passion and energy to do something? Why when he's 80 and all tired and he's given up on everything? No, God's working out a purpose in each and every one of us. He's got a greater plan going on. He's not in a hurry. He's not in a hurry. But what's required on our side is when God speaks to you and you know it's His voice, to go with what He's showing you and to be confident in that. Now if you struggle with something, you know, Gideon struggled with the instruction of God. You know that whole thing that people talk about setting out a fleece? You know, they talk about setting out a fleece. Yeah, so you know the story of the fleece where one day Gideon asked something because he wanted to follow what God was saying. But he also struggled with his own conceptions, his own mind, his own experiences that he had had in life. And there was a willingness that he had to follow the voice of God and to do what God had told him and instructed him to do. But he also needed to be met at the point of his own limitation and the point of his own struggle, and God was willing to do that with Gideon. And so basically Gideon was saying, look, God, I'm willing to put this life completely on the line for you. I don't mind. But I just need to know and to be sure that it's you that's sending me in to do this. That's very, very different than somebody, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. It's very different than that. Where people, for their own amusement, for they're not going anywhere with God, they just want God to be like a genie that does whatever they want whenever they feel like it. But if you are willing to go with what God shows and reveals to you, the Spirit of God will also help you to have an assurance that this is Him speaking and showing and revealing which way to go. Keep your finger in James, but flip to Proverbs 3. And verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Verse 5 and 6. Chapter 3. So when you have a struggle, when you have an issue, when you're not quite sure what to do, which way to go, it doesn't mean you don't use your understanding. But your trust is in the Lord. And you take that before Him and you wait on Him when you have a decision that needs to be made, and He will show you and reveal so that you know which way to go. And we've already discussed how God many times has set His people into very difficult situations. And we're grateful for that, because that's also part of God's plan and purpose and the adventure He has for you. See, the world will get you to sell out to the system, and then to get a little small spot where everything seems to be safe and secure, and you just live there and die there, and nothing ever happens in your life and your relationship with the Father at all. Whereas if you will walk with Christ, you will experience a very raw, real reality for your time in the earth. Okay, back to James. For if any man, verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So James giving a spiritual example or a natural example of something spiritual. When we hear and when we understand and God shows us something, and then we walk away and we walk back into this reality of the world system and forget what God showed us, it's the same as somebody that looks at their face in the mirror and then you walk away and you forget, what do I look like?
දෙවියන් වහන්සේ අපිට යම් කිසි දෙයක් කරන්න කියලා පෙන්නනවා. ඊට පස්සේ අපි ඒ දේ නොකර ඒකින් ඈත් වෙලා ලෝක ක්‍රමයට අපි ඇතුළත් වෙලා ලෝකාකාරී ජීවත් වෙනවා. ඒක හරියට කොයි වගේද? තමාගේ මූණ කැඩපතකින් දාලා ටික වෙලාවක් ඒකින් එළියට ගියාට පස්සේ ඒ මූණ හතරට කරනවා වගේ.
There's a lot of people that forget spiritually who they are.
ගොඩක් අයට අමතක වෙනවා ආත්මිකව ඔවුන් කවුද කියලා.
They forget spiritually what God called them to be. They forget that they are a joint heir with Christ Jesus, a son or a daughter of the living God. I mean, think about it. The oceans that are out there with all that power and the clouds and all of God's creation, everything that God has made, that you are a son and a daughter through Christ Jesus of the very Creator that made all of that in this small part of the universe.
ඔබ ටිකක් හිතලා බලන්න මූණ දිහා බලන්න මොනතරම් බලයක් මේ මූණ තුල ක්‍රියා කරනවද ඒ වගේ දේවල් මවපු දෙවියන්ගේ පුතේ හරි දරුවෙක් තමයි ඔබ එවැනි දරුවෙක් මේ මුළු විශ්වය තුල කුංචි කොටසක් වෙන්න පුළුවන් ඔබ නමුත්
And when you start understanding some things about outer space and stars and galaxies and all of these kind of things, and this is such a small part, and yet we are children of the one that made it all.
මේ ලෝකේ අපි චූටි කොටසක හිටියා මේ දේවල් ග්‍රහලෝක සියල්ල මවපු දෙවියන්ගේ ධර්මයන් හැටියට තමයි අපි සිටින්නේ
And even in addition, even beyond that, you are made in His image and His likeness. Why would you ever want to forget that? I know why the world would love you to forget that. I know why the enemy of your soul would love you to forget that. I know why this system that we are surrounded by works so hard to bombard your mind and your thoughts with anything and everything to make you, try to make you forget that. But there's something that you can do in this. When God speaks and He reveals, you and I listen and follow and go forward with what He shows you.
දෙවියන් වහන්සේ අපට කතා කරන විට අපට පුළුවන් උන්වහන්සේ කතා කරන දේ ඇහුම්කන් දීලා හොඳට ඊට පස්සේ
See, when He reveals to you, and when you obey, and when you walk that out, you then see the repercussion and the hand of God involved in your life and in the reality that you're living in. You see, even for yourself, that He is your Father looking out for you and making a way for you through a hostile world. Protecting you, keeping you, leading you, guiding you. Okay. Verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, we can go into this in so many different ways, but we have a little bit of time. But just to say that your words have power. There's power of life and death even in the tongue. You know, somebody was telling me that a guy showed up at work, and as a joke, there were several other people that had decided, every time they saw this guy, they would tell him, you know, you don't look very well, are you okay? That he looked sick, that every time it was several of these people in this office. So the first person, he's like, yeah, I'm fine, I'm okay. And then the next person, he's like, you know, really? And then he started wondering. Third person, fourth person, fifth person. By the time it was lunchtime, he felt sick. He felt sick. And then he quit work for the day and went home. No, you know, you and words have power. And the words that you allow to be spoken over your life, if you own them, they have power too. So you can choose to entertain things in your life, or you can nip them in the bud and say, no, that's not who I am. I've seen my true face reflected in the glory of God. I know who I am. I know whom I have believed in. I am persuaded. I know what I'm about. And I do not have to own anything that's not like Him. Or you can be somebody that allows these things to rest on your life and on your heart. And they can make you sick, and they can paralyze you, and they can turn your life into something that it was never intended to be. Now I want you to understand, the world is running that game I just talked about. They're running that game all the time. All the time they're running that game. And so you need to know that that's there. And there are those that are speaking against you, that are gaming you. There are those that have been sent as assignments to try to hurt and to harm you. But we know that. Jesus said, I send you out like lambs among wolves, like sheep among wolves. He sends us out. And if God wasn't protecting a sheep in the middle of a bunch of wolves, we would have been gone a long time ago. If God wasn't protecting a lamb in the middle of a bunch of wolves, we would have been finished a long time ago. But we see God's hand and God's protection, but what He requires from us is, my sheep know my voice, they won't follow another. My sheep are led and guided by me. And now, because you are a son and a daughter of God, realize too, and you're made in God's image, your words have power. So you can speak life or you can speak death. So choose to speak life and let the words that come out of your mouth be edifying and building up of other people. Don't entertain gossip. You know what gossip is, yes? Do I need to define this? No, it's a Sri Lankan pastime. No, it's a Sri Lankan hobby. It's the same as cricket. Gossip and cricket are in the same categories. You know, and the way that it starts too is it begins with somebody saying, you know, I think that this person might have done something like this when they were 45. They must have taken this money from somewhere. Because how could they have fixed their roof? And it goes from that one to the next person saying, ah, you know, such and such took this money from this place. That's how they paid for the roof. Then after that, if they forget about the roof, you know, this one took this money from these people. And very, very quickly it just goes like that. People cause hurt and harm and damage to the lives of people that are just innocently walking through this life, not trying to hurt anyone. Their uncle from Dubai that worked for 5 years sent them some money to fix their roof because it was leaking. And no one knew about it, and it's nobody's business. But whenever anyone is seen to get any kind of leg forward in life in general, the crab bucket and every crab grabs for that one to try to pull it back down. Now God's called you to be an eagle. So don't you dare be a crab. No, you know one way that you use, I'll give you two very simple things so that you're not part of this. One, when you hear things that are unsubstantiated, that are negative towards somebody's character, one, don't let that go from you. Don't you be the one to repeat that. And the second one is, if you're sitting down and somebody comes up to you and they begin that spiel with you, that talking with you, just very gently, very politely, you don't have to get mad, just stop them or get up and remove yourself from the situation. Don't let people dump that into your life, because if you let them dump it into your life, it will affect you. So remember, Paul said, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is just. He goes through a whole list. He says, think on these things. There's millions of things you can be thinking about. So don't worry about how such and such paid for their roof. Okay, at verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now the widow and the orphan is those that don't have someone to defend them. They don't have someone to fight for them. They're the most vulnerable. So these are those that are the most vulnerable in that society, in that situation. So to help those that have the hardest time helping themselves. And to be mindful of that. It's not confined just to the title of a widow or an orphan. It's for those, the spirit of it is, for those, we help those that have the hardest time helping themselves. We reach out to them. We can do that. So to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. So when you visit them, that means you are putting yourself, you are going to them. You're not waiting for them to say, oh, over here. So you're meeting them in their situation. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now we know that the world and the system of the world is working very hard to put a mark on your soul. But there is a free will decision that you and I can make to walk with the Father through each and every day of this life. And the way that you can keep yourself unspotted from the world is whenever you speak and are connected with the Father, when He shows you, you do. And He will lead and guide you through every obstacle, every trap, everything that the world is using and trying to use, and He will show you, navigate you through so that you can live the abundant life He intended for you. So be encouraged. And God is in control. And it is so good to be a child of the living God. And we will stop there for today.